32 off your mistakes. You can't win. And that's the bottom line, Mike. I think I said it pregame. You know, you're playing a very dangerous game, and at some point it's going to bite you in the butt, and it did tonight. They kicked their ass in the paint. I think they had 56 in our paint. So we could have been a lot better in other areas, but, I mean, they had 16 for 16 points. So that's a plus 16-point advantage in points off turnovers. Nikola had 6 of them. Our starting group had 15 of them. You know, you're not going to win. You know, and going on the road in a back-to-back against a division opponent tomorrow night that, you know, hasn't played since Friday, I think. I appreciate that, schedule makers. That's a great early season schedule. But, you know, it's just getting out of hand. I mean, it's almost like Keystone Cop-ish out there, some of the turnovers. And so we're going to look at the turnovers. We'll figure out why that continues to be a problem, and hopefully we can find a way to fix it in a hurry.
Yeah, I mean, the schedule's not doing him any favors, but there's, you know, nobody's going to feel sorry for you. There's Michael Malone talking about the Nuggets and their turnover issues the other night. I keep saying the other night because, yeah, they're right back at it tonight, and we're only 4 games in. And, yeah, you got to go play Harrison Wynn telling us maybe the top team in the Western Conference. But the Nuggets can play up to their competition. They play down to their competition, and I feel like it's been that way for far too long. Like, it does seem like that has been the case with this team for a while. But you got to figure it out. It's not panic button. There's 82 games. Every team in the league has what? How many would you say? Like 10 clunkers? 10 just bad games, and sometimes those are against bad teams, and ball's not going in. Like, again, I know I'm harping on this, but I look at the Portland game last night. Portland, I don't think, is going to be a contender. I can't imagine they're going to be that bad last. I mean, this is what we were last night against the Clippers. So, I mean, you're going to have those. Best thing to do, you got to try to get this one out. Bad taste out of your mouth. See what you can do against Utah. I think the Nuggets are 7-point dogs tonight. The game on TNT, 8 o'clock tonight. Bunch of basketball happening. You've got the Lakers and the Spurs, Dallas, Houston, OKC, Golden State, Philly, New York, Denver, and Utah. So a lot going on. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Also, the Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Should the Broncos trade Von Miller before the trade deadline? Go vote. Let us know. Trade deadline's what, next Tuesday? So you're going to have to see, is this the group that's going forward? What's ultimately going to happen with this team? You got Washington coming up. You got, is it the Chiefs after that? I mean, it's not going to get any easier other than perhaps the Washington game. Is this going to be a completely... But no. Chiefs are way down the road. What am I talking about? Home against Washington at Dallas. Home against the Eagles. And then home against the Chargers and then at the Chiefs. So I'd say you're looking at really needing to win the next 2 out of 3. If you just want to stay above water, do the next 2 out of 3, and then you got Chargers, Chiefs. We'll see. Do the Chiefs get it clicking at that point? I mean, that's my fear is, you know, when will the Chiefs figure it out? And is it going to be when they play for against the Broncos? Well, they got the Giants. The Chiefs got Giants on Monday night. That's a get right game, I think. Although the Giants win. So Chiefs don't look right. How about this one? I'm actually kind of interested in this, excited about this somewhat. The Rams trade linebacker Kenny Young to the Broncos. Broncos, listen, he's not going to be any worse than what they're doing right now. Their linebacking core is so depleted, the injuries just keep mounting. The Broncos traded for Kenny Young. They sent a 2024 6th-round draft pick in exchange for Young and a 2024 7th-round draft pick. I'm all right with that. That's why George Payton was acquiring so many different draft picks, so that he could use these perhaps during the season. He's the second linebacker the Broncos have acquired in the past 3 days to go with Saturday's trade to get the Vikings, former Viking, Stephen Weatherly. So getting better here is getting better bodies, better guys that are equipped to handle the situation. I mean, this guy had a couple of sacks on the year, too. I mean, he was in his fourth NFL season. He started all 7 games for the Rams this season. He played at least 40% of the snaps in 6 of them. He had a sack to go with 7 tackles in their victory over the Lions. Does this seem like a steal? I mean, he started every game for one of the better teams in the NFL right now. So, I mean, I know he's got a contract coming up at the end of the season, and maybe they just want to offload it now and be done with it, but this is what Sean McVay had to say. There's an investment in some of these young backers. If you spend a third-round pick on Ernest Jones, he's a guy that we feel like has a lot of upside. So they're looking at more like Ernest Jones and Troy Reader as guys that they would rather invest in right now that maybe Young had kind of surpassed that or, you know, passed that point of, oh, there's potential there for the Rams. New beginning for Denver. I actually think that this was a nice move. I don't know what that means going forward, but because the Broncos certainly have a lot of holes to fill at this stage. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Noob says, hey, my schedule doesn't do me any favors either. Get over it. You play a game and make millions of dollars. We've heard that one before. I mean, they do play a game that we watch. If you didn't watch it, they wouldn't make millions of dollars. If you don't like the fact that they make millions of dollars, don't watch. I've never been one of those guys. I've never been one of those guys that's like, oh, they make two. Where do you want the money to go? They make billions. The teams make billions of dollars. Should they just throw it away? Should they just sprinkle it out over to the fans? That's a nice way to motivate people. No, I get it. Listen, if you listen to this show, what we talk about on a daily basis is not the real world. So if you want to bring real world connections to a sports show and you want to compare Von Miller to the janitor at your school and how he's underappreciated, but Von makes, then you're listening to the wrong show. I mean, it's not the same. Yes, of course, our schedules, we all have to work. We all have to do stuff, but this is the sports world. At the same token, I get where Malone's coming from. I'm not to the extreme of saying get over it, but it is crap. If you're a fan of the Nuggets, do you think they have a better chance to beat the Utah Jazz tonight, who haven't played since Friday? Or and the Nuggets played last night? It's crap. So I mean, no. You can talk about your work schedule and your busy life all you want. You didn't dedicate your life 110% to playing basketball. I loved basketball, Angel. I did. But as soon as practice was over, I went home and played video games. Hung out with my friends. Hung out with girlfriends. Did all that stuff. These guys don't do that. These guys don't go out and, you know, eat Taco Bell all the time like I tend to do. Again, it's the different worlds. You listen to this show, you're separating your brain from the real world. I've done it on occasion. I try not to make those comparisons. But I also on the same token, I say everybody's going to get this. Everybody's going to get these kind of schedules. Everybody's going to have these crazy starts, these back-to-backs, these home and then you got to get back on the plane as soon as the game's over and travel to a tough place. Everybody's going to have it. So at the same time, yeah, you do have to suck it up, just like the Broncos have to suck it up because of injuries. Nobody's going to apologize for you in this league. But the schedule so far, I mean, that hasn't been fantastic. This is not a fantastic shot. If you're a fan of the Nuggets and you want them to win games, I'm sorry, but you're wrong if you do not think that tonight's game, back-to-back, I mean, they may win. But if you think it's easy and it shouldn't matter, then you're not watching. Because playing back-to-backs, why do they play back-to-backs? I'm happy on a Tuesday night to watch some basketball. There's no football, so I'm happy. You got World Series, too. But why do they play back-to-backs? I hate this, Angel, and I can do this from the prep scene all the way to the pros. High school football, what night do they typically play on?
Friday.
And then what do they play during the playoffs?
Friday?
No, they play Saturdays. Saturdays, during the day. You see baseball. They have series, playoffs are all series, except for we have a wild card game, you know, the one game to decide. Basketball, they do not play back-to-backs in the playoffs. Not once. So why do they do it in this situation? I'm sure the schedule makers have a rhyme or reason, but I am not a fan of changing. Your season should align with what you do on a regular basis.
Well, even, you know, back-to-backs are one thing, but looking at the Nuggets' schedule, they play the Grizzlies on the road twice in, like, 3 days.
Yeah.
Are they staying in Memphis?
Yeah, I mean, probably. See, that's ridiculous. When is that one? Is that...
I think it's in, like, it's either next month.
Yeah. Next Monday, they're at Memphis. Wednesday, they're at Memphis. So what do you do Tuesday? Go to the music... Go to see what? What is Elvis... The Elvis
Museum
or something?
Country Music Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Go see that.
Been to Elvis's house.
Yeah?
Yeah, Graceland.
Is it nice?
It's pretty nice.
It's just it's a museum now, right? Nobody lives there.
Yeah. No.
Oh, darn it. Let's get a tour in there. My mom actually went there. She's a big Elvis fan. Are you an Elvis guy?
Not really. I mean, I know you know who Elvis is, but I mean, I was probably 6 or 7 when I did that, so.
Yeah.
We were just passing through Tennessee.
So yeah, that'd be cool.
Let's go to Graceland.
Be cool to see. Yeah, my mom went not too long ago. It was like a dream of hers, and she finally went. But yeah, I mean, what do you do with this? You're at Minnesota, your day off. Or Memphis. You're at Minnesota, and then you're at Memphis, then you're at Memphis. Like that, to me, that doesn't make a lot of sense. The home and homes don't make a lot of sense necessarily either. Hey, we're going to go to Memphis, then tomorrow. But at least the team that's traveling there doesn't have to stay one random day, you know, not in their home confines. I mean, it is interesting to me. 17 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. Let's take a look at the NFL power rankings. Where do the Broncos sit according to ESPN.com? We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Gotta tell you about my chiropractor. I was just talking to Michael. Michael goes there as well. Michael Kirkpatrick, who hangs out at the station. I still don't know what he does here. Rev Chiropractic. Started going there in January. Like, right now, Angel, I could go run a marathon right now. No pain in my back whatsoever. It's fantastic. Now, I still have my moments where I'm like, ooh, slept wrong. Man, that's going to be rough. But at Rev Chiropractic, it's the long game that you're playing. You know, you can go in and get your neck cracked and feel good for 5 seconds, but it's the long game. And man, I'm telling you, I'm not even a year in and I feel 10 times better. I'm telling you guys, if you are hurting, you know, maybe like Noob's talking about, hey, our jobs, our schedules are demanding. They're unforgiving. Maybe that's what you have. Maybe you're sitting at a desk all day and that kills your back. Maybe you're out working on the oil fields. I know we have a lot of fantastic listeners that tune in and listen out on the fields. Farmers, too. Maybe your back's killing you. You guys should check out Rev Chiropractic. I'm telling you, man. It works. Dr. Tyler Terry and Dr. Haley Harada. They're in Greeley off of 35th Ave, right by the Home Depot. Their website is chiropracticrev.com. Hey, do me a favor. Check the website. If your back's hurting, check the website. If you got some ailments... ChiropractRev.com, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, boy, the power rankings are out, unforgiving for the Broncos, sitting at number 21, according to ESPN. They always do the thing, they always do this in the rankings too, just every week. The prediction that we missed thus far. Do you have any idea what the ESPN staff, what their prediction was about the Broncos as to why they would be better?
Quarterback play?
D Defense.
Defense, yeah. That's my second guess.
Broncos defense would dominate. Jeff Legwell was one of those that wrote that. Of course, Jeff Legwell, Broncos insider for ESPN, said the phrase on paper is apt for the Broncos defense this season. But the preseason plans a consistently impactful pass rush backed by one of the league's best secondaries has not been seen nearly enough to bail the offense out. Yes, they do have one of the league's three shutouts this year. Buffalo has the other. And they're third in scoring defense, but overall sacks, takeaways, interceptions. They don't have the it plays. That's the problem. They don't have the it plays. And last week, they didn't have any plays. It wasn't just the it plays. Cleveland just did whatever the hell they wanted, and they made it look easy. Which, does that get you too excited? You think, are the Broncos a favorite against Washington on Sunday? Let me check Colfax. We'll get some. Give me some efforting music here.
Who was that?
Broncos and what did I say? I said Broncos and the football team, right? Did I say the name?
No, you said everything right. There was just one name you got wrong.
Which one did I say? Now I want to know. You're gonna make me go back and listen. Can any of the hooligans tell us? They are 3-point favorites. Do you feel good about that? Is that wrong? Is it right? Do you like that? I mean, early predictions. I don't give picks until Friday because I really,
I feel like that's just we got to give them a spread. Just give them 3.
And it's a home game. Both are bad teams at this stage. Makes sense. But I don't know. Have you watched many Washington, the football team's games?
I haven't watched any of that sports football team there in undisclosed location at undisclosed stadium.
Yeah.
The team redacted.
Yeah. None of what they did is real anymore. Boy, that's a tough one. Teddy will be a little bit better. Will this offensive line be a little bit better? Will they finally run? I mean, Zach Stevens told us yesterday, the only change that he saw with the Broncos was that the coaches are taking more on themselves. Is that coach speak? It's coach speak. It doesn't mean anything to me. Although with Vic, maybe it does mean a little bit more because Vic typically does say things like, well, they're in the, we got the play call. They're just in the wrong spots. I mean, hell, the dude criticized Von Miller when he got here. Said Von Miller could get better, which I guess he could. But does that coach speak to you when you hear that? Or do you really believe, they're going to change something?
I think when you're at where the Broncos are at, you have to come up with things to say that aren't coach speak. And it's hard because you don't really want to be honest sometimes. Say, yeah, we're just a bad team. And
yeah.
It's easy, especially when your job's on the line, to point the finger at someone else.
There's no way that this team, that Vic Fangio thinks he's coming back next year, right? There's no way. Noob's wanting to know, Colfax, is T there anymore? Is T there anymore? No, Colfax moved on. We had an old going away show for him. We've got the angel of our dreams here now running the show. Oh, hold on. I like that one. That's good. That one's good. Thanks, Angel. You don't know much about the King Elvis. What about Boxcar Willie? What does that mean to you?
I don't know what Boxcar Willie is.
I called you Colfax. That's what I did.
Yeah,
you called
me Colfax.
Thanks, Noob. Noob caught it.
See, the hooligans got me here.
Oh, dude, the hooligans. If I say anything wrong, they get me. I've only done it once. Are you surprised that I've only done it once?
Well, I mean, this is only our third show together officially.
Yeah. So
there's no room for error.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm like the Nuggets right now. Sweet, you know what? A lot of promise way too soon. I was wondering. I was like, what the hell did I just say? Oh, I said it. Second nature. I've only done it once, though. I'm shocked. I'm amazed. This is going to be a very interesting time for the Broncos leading up. I mean, they got to get... Even a win against Washington doesn't erase everything, because then you got to go to Dallas. There's no way that Vic thinks that he's coming back, though. So you're right. They're just thinking of crap to say, because I got to be up on the podium for the next 9 weeks or whatever, 10 weeks. I don't know. I got to get better, I guess. I guess I'll do better. I'll look at things better. Pat Shurmur, I don't know, man. We'll run the ball more, I guess. One time. There's no way. I mean, do you see a mass turnaround? I mean, some people are pretty positive about that, but four in a row, what leads you to believe they're going to beat Washington? Okay, maybe because they're bad. But the way they looked against Cleveland, I saw nothing, no life, nothing. So, I mean, you're going to go to Dallas? Suddenly Dallas looks like they could win it all. So I'm telling you, dude, this is going to be an interesting one. Dixon, Brady, don't see a lot of effort from the other hooligans. Yeah, Dixon, on this Triple T to try and win the prize. And I'm only one away. So if they want to keep it out of my hands, they have about 20 minutes before I send in a killer text and snag it. They have been warned. I don't even, to be honest, yeah, it's Top Text Tuesday today. Dixon has two, so he could win the. We get a signed Ed McCaffrey football, I believe. So we'll be getting that probably to Dixon, unless one of you guys comes up big here. Holyoke had a good text. I like that text. 31 minutes after the hour, we're going to catch up with Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. Also, CSU Rams Wire. We'll get his thoughts on the whole Adazio stuff, because he works there, so he's around these guys, but surely Mike's going to tell us, hey, yeah, maybe something should change. We'll talk to Mike next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now on our first Advantage Hotline, Mike Brohard with CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. Mike, my friend, how are you?
I'm peachy, and you?
You know, I'm doing good. A cooler weather. I'm liking it. The cool down is upon us, so I'm feeling good. I enjoy this time of year.
Well, yeah, it's fall's upon us. It's the colors are changing. They're beautiful, and I'm wondering when we're going to get snow and all that good stuff. So we'll see.
It's right around the corner, man. I'm sure it's coming. It's not, but it should be. I don't even know what the weather looks like for Saturday, but we should be expecting. I don't know. Is it decent weather Saturday night or Saturday 5 o'clock between CSU and Boise State?
I don't know either because I don't get paid to do the weather report, so I haven't looked that far into it yet.
That's
me about 24 hours out. I'll look to see how I should drive.
That's the next part. I think that's the next stage, Mike. That's the next part of the journey. All right, Mike, talk to us about, I know it's Tuesday, we're trying to turn the page, but I got to pick your brain about it. Craziness at the end of that CSU-Utah State game, and I know you guys have talked to Coach well into this about all things special teams. I wanted to get your take, though. I mean, flat out, should Steve Adazio, I mean, should he get a special teams coach, or is it just one of those things where the guys ran out onto the field with no direction necessarily. So, I mean, I was scratching my head, like, why would they go out there if they weren't instructed to? So, boy, it was a jumbled mess on Friday.
Yeah, I wouldn't say anybody just ran out of the field without any instruction. There was instruction, but there are obviously some wires crossed. And I think Steve has said as much. You know, he took the blame for it, said he's got to make sure it's fixed. And they spent a good portion of Sunday in coaches' meetings trying to figure out what happened. And then, of course, you know, I go out to practice today, and I know there's a narrative out there that he threw the players under the bus. And honestly, they're upset about that. They don't feel that that took place. Three or four players walked up to me because they know I used to work at a newspaper. They're like, why is this out there? I mean, we don't feel like he ever did anything to disrespect us or what we did. You know, they're telling you there's all kinds of blame to go around if you want to assign blame. But the way they're looking at it is this is something that happened. We wish it wouldn't have happened. We have addressed it to get it fixed, and they're all still very much together. But, you know, there are some players that are actually upset that they think that their coach threw them under the bus.
So, Mike, on that side, first off, because I agree with I tend to agree with the players on this, because I think at some point, I mean, these guys, they're not 13-year-olds, you know, they're not 14-year-old high school kids. They know the rules of football. But I do want to ask you went back to it and you said, hey, it wasn't like anybody didn't or did not instruct them one way or the other. Can you elaborate on that side? What was the wire that got crossed? Was there something that was kind of said that would lead them to say, hey, we're going to bust out of there before any attempt to a spike? We're going to take matters into our own hands.
if you go back and if you watch that play, the entire offense is running down the field, throwing their hand up and down that they're going to spike the ball. And what the fast field goal team was instructed was, if we do not get the first down, we'll need to run out on the field and do it. But Ty McCall's catch was clearly past the first down markers. You also need to remember that on a football sideline, players can only go so far. So if somebody lost perspective of where the chains were and couldn't tell that it was a first down, somebody might have thought, we didn't get the first down, we got to go, whereas the offense knew that they had time to get down and spike. There's all kinds of things. I can't tell you what went through all 22 players' minds. I do know this. If you watch the film, and if you watched it live on TV, everybody on the sideline was signaling to spike the ball. Everybody on the offense was signaling to spike the ball. So that was the plan. Most everybody knew what was supposed to happen, and it just didn't. So that's why they said, we need to address this. We need to have a better way of making sure that everybody's on the same page.
Talking to Mike Brohard with CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. I mean, yeah, it was chaos. And, you know, my brain initially went right to, okay, who's the special teams coach? You know, snarky, whatever. But then at the end of the day, I still thought to myself, if Addazio is not calling for field, because any head coach, whether you're watching high school, college, or the NFL, if you don't see the head coach signal, special teams coach doesn't signal. So in defense of Addazio on this one, because we talked about it yesterday, I mean, if he's not instructing the field goal unit to run on, I would go, well, then why did they run on in the first place? So in that regard, I'm not saying whether or not I truly believe he needs a special teams, but in that sense, it did seem strange that for whatever reason, for whatever wires that got crossed, the field goal unit just decided to kind of make their way out. And maybe one guy led the way, and then the rest kind of followed suit.
It is what it is at this point in time. And like I said, they've attempted in their best interest to fix whatever happened to make sure that it doesn't go on, put in more, you know, fail safes, you know, whatever it is that however you want to word it. But they went ahead and addressed it, and now – to make sure that it doesn't happen against a Boise State, who they had special teams problems with last year. And now they're trying to move past what happened so that they can focus on trying to beat Boise State for the first time in program history.
I mean, it's always crazy when you say it. You know, I always kind of, you think about it, you know it, and then when you get there, you're like, wow, after all these times, the Rams have not been able to take care of the Boise State Broncos. Mike, moving forward as we're trying to do here, does this certainly feels like the time to do it. I know Boise State's had a crazy schedule, and their record is not as great as they want it to be. They've had an up-and-down schedule, tough opponents for sure, but this isn't the same Boise State as last year or the Broncos that we've been seeing over the last, you know, 5-10 years.
No, it's not. The thing that really jumps out to me is I know everybody thinks about Boise State as this great passing offense, but what they've always had is a really, really good running game to go with it, and they're not – they don't have that to that degree. I mean, they're averaging less than 100 yards a game on the ground, and you're running into a defense that is really adept at stopping the run. That seems to be the opening that you're probably looking at. They haven't been able to close. You know, they're probably still going through some of the transformation of a head coaching change, you know, with Harsin now at Auburn and Andy Avalos running the program now. So while he has ties to Boise State, there's still an adjustment period with him coming back and things getting into place. But you're right. This doesn't look to be the same type of Boise State team. It hasn't this year. They've had some mistakes that are what you would call uncharacteristic for a Boise State program. And again, to me, that stands out the most. They just don't have the same kind of potent running game that they've had in the past.
I'm talking to Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. Yeah, I'll be really curious to see how this one plays out. And I'll tell you, Mike, it looked that second half for the Rams, if they can kind of put together what they started to, especially that fourth, but even spurts throughout the game. I mean, David Bailey, if he can run like that, you can still win a lot of football games. I know there were penalties, a lot of penalties against the Rams. But, man, if you can put it together with Bailey on offense and then Todd Senteo can give us something like that final drive, you might be able to do the unthinkable and finally take care of the Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, Todd Senteo's last two drives, the way he engineered those, were great.
Yeah.
And you're right. Everybody is really focused on what happened on that final play. But you need to go back to the first quarter when Todd threw an interception, and then there was the fumble going into the red zone. Those are mistakes that came back to haunt. When you look at the fact you don't want your team to have 9 penalties, you especially do not want all 9 penalties to be called on the defense, and then a bunch of them being offsides. A couple of times, I mean, the second touchdown that Utah State scored, that was on a free play. There was an offside flag on the field that isn't one of those 9, because they scored a touchdown because they knew they had a free play they could throw deep and anything goes, and they hit that pass and they score a touchdown on it. So that's another thing you've got to worry about. I mean, yeah, I know everybody wants to focus on that last play, but there were so many plays that could have made that just an irrelevant thing. The pooch kick at the end of the first half, which basically allowed Utah State to hold the ball for 10 and a half minutes and score 9 points, that was the separation that they created at that time that really put the Rams in comeback mode.
Mike Brohard joining us on our First Advantage hotline. And defensively, they had a rough, the second quarter, kind of a rough quarter there. And obviously, we talked about penalties and a lot of things went into that. But I was really impressed with how they buckled down in the second half. The defense has been a kind of a building force throughout the course of the season. It was nice to see them come out at halftime and really make those adjustments and get after the quarterback, too. That defensive line continues to look pretty special on the field.
Yeah, I mean, the 8 sacks, tied for second most in program history. The 13 tackles for loss, tied for second most in program history. That's a week after they allowed just 76 yards of total offense to a team, or 69 yards of total offense to a team. These are historic-type performances that you're seeing by this defense. And to me, and I'm going to address it in a story tomorrow, where it starts to me, it's up front. You've got a defensive line that is adept at not only stopping the run, but also rushing the passer. And that means CSU doesn't have to commit 8, 9, 10 guys to the box to stop the run. They don't have to bring in special packages to rush the passer. If Boise State wants to throw on second down and we think it's a rundown, well, our best pass rushers are still on the field. That gives them flexibility to defensive coordinator Chuck Heater to call his defense and what he can do. And, you know, the intelligence kind of that group allows them, you know, to disguise certain things, add more into the package to make them more diverse and harder to read.
Yeah, it's fun to watch, man. When they're at their best, I don't know, they look like a pack of hungry wolves out there, never giving up on a play. It's highly entertaining. Looking at the standings, obviously the loss, it's tough to take because of what it meant in the standings. The Rams would have been sitting on top all by themselves, but we saw Air Force lose to San Diego State. Utah State leapfrogs both of them. They're sitting at the top spot. However, I mean, the Rams are going to need some help, but you look at their performances, you know, against the San Jose States, against Iowa's, against Toledo, and even at the end of that Utah State game, you could sure see, make a realistic case, especially if the Rams can take care of Boise State. Man, they could put themselves in the thick of it and make that Air Force game on November 13th extremely interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, if the nuts were, you know, if what is it? If it's and butts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
I think that's it, yeah.
The whole thing is, this is what's still, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the Mountain West is an interesting conference. You do not know what's going to happen from week to week. So that being said, yes, Colorado State has every opportunity in front of it to knock off some teams and put itself back in the race, but they're going to have to continue to get better. The turnovers, you can't have them. The 9 defensive penalties, you can't have them. You need to play clean from week in and week out. And that's where this program is trying to build toward, is that they put out a consistent performance week in and week out, something that you can count on week in and week out that gives you that edge going into a game, that makes you the team that takes advantage of another team's miscues because you're not making them.
Yeah, well, it'll be a huge weekend for Colorado State, no question about it. Mike, always appreciate you jumping on the show with us. Stay warm for now, man, and then we'll see what that weather's going to do soon.
I'm just sitting in my office writing a cross-country story right now, so I'm feeling pretty good.
You're feeling cozy. All right, my friend, always appreciate you, man, and we'll probably see you Saturday.
All right, take care.
See you then. Mike
Brohard,
CSURams.com. 49 minutes after the hour. Angel, we need to get out of here so you can tell us what's on tonight. A lot to pick from. We'll get to that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, short time left in the program. We're going to do this every single end of the show, religiously. Angel, what are we watching tonight, my friend? What do we have on the tube that that we should be interested in?
We'll get things started tonight on the Ice and Ball Arena as the Colorado Avalanche host the Vegas Golden Knights. Avs are 2-3 so far on the year with the Knights on a 4-game losing streak. That's on ESPN tonight at 6. On the diamond tonight, we'll have Game 1 of the World Series between the Atlanta Braves and the Houston Astros. Houston coming into this game as a 1.5-point favorite. First pitch at 6 o'clock on Fox. We'll wrap things up on the hardwood tonight as the Denver Nuggets travel to Salt Lake City to take on the Utah Jazz. Jazz come into this game as 7-point home favorites. That game will tip off at 8 on TNT.
All right, which one are you watching? What's getting most of your focus tonight? Game 1 of the World Series, or?
I think they're all a little spaced out a bit, so I can get a little bit of each one.
Yeah.
But I'll probably be watching the Nuggets tonight.
Me too. It's good to have a fellow obsessive fan that's going to be there for all 82, or at least certainly try. Angel, great job as always, my friend. Thanks to Mike Brohard for joining us. Apparently, a lot of the outside media was shut out today, according to Eddie Herz of the Reporter Herald. Good thing we got Scott Patchen. Scott Patchen Show. Get the inside scoop. All right, that's going to do it for us. It is Tuesday. We got the UNC Coaches Show tonight and our good friends, the GOAT. So come out and say hi to us. Good night, Northern Colorado.